Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from United Kingdom. We got Jake Devonport of Kevin Boy Jump Ship. Hi Jake.
Hey. Hey buddy, hey Channa, how you doing?
How's the UK? How's the morning in UK?
I tell you what, with the lack of sleep and the early morning, I'm all good to go. I'm ready for this podcast. I know it's 10 a.m, but when you didn't go sleep until 7 this morning, it's an early one, mate. It's an early one, but I'm all good to go.
Right. So Jake, which city are you in UK?
So I'm based in London. I'm East London on the border of Essex. So
right, that's where. Right.
But I grew up in North London.
Right. So London. How is the situation now in London? Because I know that all the restriction and stuff were removed now, right? Recently.
Recently just got removed. But if you're from London, you'll understand when I say no one really cared anyway. So Right. Everyone was still out. Everyone was still doing their thing. It was just, the only thing was, it was like, it was mandatory to wear a mask in a shop. I think that one's going now though, but some people still wear masks, some people don't. It's been very chilled here. I will say the government have not been too great with it though, but we won't go into politics today.
Right. So how is the live music situation over there?
Live, so it was going great. Obviously, there was nothing for a good long while, and then shows all started coming back in. Bands started booking shows again. It was all going quite well. But I've noticed a lot of the American bands, mainly that were coming over, have all started cancelling their tours. Right. So between like now January and to about March, there were so many international bands coming over, especially ones that I would like to have gone seen. I've actually got some tickets up on my board over there of bands that I wanted to go see that they've all cancelled or postponed it. So for international, I don't think it's too good. I think some of the UK bands here, their shows are still going ahead. So it's a bit hit and miss at the moment. So,
right. Jake, have you seen this poster for this festival, When We Were Young festival? Have you seen that?
I mean, who hasn't? Let's be honest. If you haven't seen it, then you don't own a phone or a PC.
That's so outrageous, right? That lineup is outrageous.
It's mad. Bands would pay millions of pounds to jump on that. Like, do you know what's really annoying about that post? We was just announcing one of our singles, and we put up the first teaser for this brand new single that we're about to release. And we're like, this is going to be big. We're buzzing. Literally at the exact same time, they posted the When We Were Young festival. So our post just got absolutely lost. So right. We had to like delete it and re-upload it again a couple of hours later because it got lost in that massive hype of this new festival. But yeah, it's an incredible festival. I know a few of my friends that are flying over there to go to it because it's just that good of a lineup. Right. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy on it. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's not going to be this good. It's going to be rubbish. And I don't know. My vocalist, Connor of Cabin Boy, he was like this close to going. He was like, oh, I'm booking flights, I'm going. But I don't know if he actually ended up getting the tickets or not, but I know he was so close to going.
Right. And once that poster came up, you saw that there was like a glam rock version of it, hardcore version of it, and all these different versions of that came out, right?
Different genres wanted to start their own festival of the same. Yeah.
Right, right, right.
I've seen the deathcore ones, but the annoying thing is, I kind of wish they were true. I'd love to go see like an all deathcore festival that of like old deathcore bands or old metalcore bands. Right. I would have loved that, but obviously it's just parodies. So,
right. So Kevin Boy Jump Ship. So, Who is in Cabin Boy Jump Ship? Can you tell me the lineup? Who's there?
Okay, so there has been a few lineup changes over the years, but this lineup, there's currently four of us. So you have me, my name's Jake. I play bass, I do the odd vocals on some songs. Then we've got Connor. He is our screamer, our main vocalist. He runs the band. He's the main guy everyone speaks to. You've got Reese. He's the drummer and the clean singer. He does like all the writing, the production. He's very talented. And then you've got Abel, which is the newest member of the band. He joined about 2 years ago, but we only announced him a couple of months ago.
Right.
So he's on the new album. He's been writing the new album verse. He's on the new music videos we've just released. So yeah,
So
that's the current lineup.
you're in the band from 2016, I think,
So
right?
I've been in the band since December 2016. I was in previous projects with other members, and I've known Connor for about 15 years. Basically, long story short, they had a tour coming up. They needed a bass player for. This is Cabin Boy, by the way, Cabin Boy Jump Ship. They had a tour coming up in Germany, and they needed a session bassist. So they asked me. I said, "Yeah, sure, why not? We're out there." And then at the end of the tour, they asked me to join, and I was a bit hesitant at first because I was like, "Oh, I don't know." But then I said yes, and now here I am, and it's great because I had other projects going on, but they didn't work, so it worked out for the best.
Right. So Jay, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and all? What's your earliest memory of music?
My childhood was nothing to do with music. I know my dad, he was big into music, and so I guess that's where it's kind of where it came from. But we when I it was basically when I got to secondary school is where music really started for me. I've always wanted to like tour the world. So that was one thing I knew I wanted to do when I was a kid. But then when I got introduced to music in secondary school, I found out that there was bands that tour the world and play music. So long story short, I was in year 8, and I believe that is you're about 12, 13 years old. So I was barely a teenager. And four of my friends were there was a friend group of us, about six or seven of us, but four of them was like, "We should start a little band." So I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" None of us knew what instruments were, so we had to like Google what instruments were in a band. So we was like, "Oh, there's a drummer, there's a bass player, two guitarists, vocals," and so and we was just searching up like Sum 41. Like what members were in the band, and obviously at the time they've got like keyboard player. Was like, "No, we don't need those." So basically we all just picked an instrument, and somehow I got bass. So I went to our local shop, I bought a £100 bass, which is very cheap, and yeah, the rest is history, and now here I am still playing bass. What, 16 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what sort of bands do you remember, like from those early start dates? What sort of music did you listen to?
So the same friend group, they got me into Sum 41, Green Day, your average pop punk bands like that. We started doing like covers when we started our little band project in school. And then we went from playing pop punk covers, and we as we was like getting older, we started like progressing of what we're listening to. So one of the guys actually started listening to a bit of metal. So he was like, "Guys, have a listen to this. Let me know what you think." So the first ever metal song I ever heard was Lamb of God, Black Label, that live at Hellfest. That was the first ever metal song I ever heard. And because it was live at Hellfest, damn, dude, like there was just madness going on. I've never heard a metal song, and I just vibed to it, dude. I was like, this is awesome. So I didn't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know what metal music was. I was just like, it's pop punk, but really loud, really fast, and screaming. So yeah, I grew from there, went into Arch Enemy, went into Machine Head, went in, and then I started getting heavier, and I went into like black metal, Dimmu Borgir, Mayhem, Burzum, and that's what I was with for a good while. I went into a proper black metal phase in my life. Then I kind of toned it down, went back to metal, and then I went into metalcore. And obviously, if you know all your genres, you'll know like that's a big step. So, now I'm a bit of everything when it comes to the metal genre, but yeah, black metal and metal are like a big part of my life. That's what I grew up on.
Right. You mentioned Lamb of God and Arch Enemy. Those are actually like
Yeah.
a couple of my favorite bands. I've seen them a couple of times already.
Arch Enemy, man. They have made me who I am. Like Angela
Right.
Gossow, fuck, dude, that woman, that she created who I am today. Like, I honestly love that woman. And then Randy Bliff, Lamb of God, Rob Flynn, Machine Head, just those characters, those people. They're I wouldn't be here today without them. So I grew up around like proper metal, like long hair, push pit, like, yeah, let's go, let's have a good one like that. So those sort of shows were what I was into when I was growing up.
Right. So, what sort of influences you have on playing bass? Who do you like?
So I'm going to be honest, when it come to influences with bass players, I never really took on to anyone when I was growing up. Obviously you had Cone from Sum 41, because he was like the first bass player I saw when I was learning to play bass. So I guess he kind of gave me that play my bass low sort of vibe, that I kind of took on. But as I said, I never really took on someone like I want to be like that person, because I always wanted to be my own person. I guess when it come to what basses I wanted to play, I really liked a Fender Geddy Lee bass, because a lot of basses in the genre were kind of doing those basses, and then I've just kind of modeled my thing off that. I really wanted to try a different sort of bass. So do you know Good Charlotte?
Yeah.
Well, the Good Charlotte bass player, I forgot his name. He was playing a five string bass, and I didn't know what the difference was when I was younger. I didn't know what the difference between a five string and a four string was. So, because of him, I went out and bought a five string, and I learned what a five string bass was, and I've not turned back since. I've played five string ever since. So, because of Good Charlotte, I've got a five string. But yeah, that I don't have an influence. I've just kind of looked at other bass players and modeled myself off them. Like, I guess you could say, Fit for a King, their bass player, he's got a very incredible stage presence. And recently, I was talking to the guys about it. He posted up a video of like how he does like his bass spins, like with his guitar and all that lot. And I was like, I really want to learn that. That looks incredible. So I went out into my garden for like 4 hours, and I was just learning how to do it. So I guess like bass players that have high energy on stage is who I model myself off of. But I've kind of got my own, stance when it comes on stage. A lot of bass players, I've actually been told that bass players look like me when I'm playing. So I'm glad I like to have my own sort of performance on stage. And I've made that myself, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the music videos, right? So I mean, really nice to see, when you're performing bass. Jake, I saw on your Facebook you actually posted you're selling a Brompton. You know why I'm asking? Because
Why are you asking?
I actually have four Bromptons, because I'm just crazy about Brompton.
There's a story behind that bike, I'll tell you now. So there is a YouTuber goes by the name of the Cycling GK. He is a cycler and he's a goalkeeper for the football team Watford Football Club. He has a YouTube channel, and one of his YouTube videos is him going to the Brompton factory where they make the Bromptons, and he helps make bikes and blah 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 blah. And at the end of the video, he's like, "I'm going to do a competition where I give away a Brompton, and all you got to do is like this comment, no, like this video, and whatever the hell it was." I just did that naturally. I just liked the video because I was like, that's cool. And I think I liked the comment that he wanted you to like. Months go by, and I get a message through from the Cycling GK. "Congratulations, Jake. You've just won yourself the Brompton bike. Thank you so much for being a loyal fan. This bike will go great for what you do." I'm like, okay. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. What do you need? And he was like, "If you could just email this place and then send your address, we'll sort out the bike for you." I'm like, I don't know if this is rubbish, but whatever. Okay, so I sent it through. About 4 months go by, bike turns up at my door. I'm like, wow, I've just got myself £3,000 bike for liking a comment on YouTube. I was like, this is incredible. You know what? I'll be honest. That bike would have been great for me, but I was like, I don't want to ride a 3,000 bike, £3,000 bike in the UK. It just seems a bit too dangerous. So I'd rather just give it to someone who would really appreciate it. So.
Yeah, because as I said, I actually have four of them. And I actually have a tattoo of Brompton here, see?
Wow. Wow. That's dedication, dude. Honestly, the bike looked incredible. It's the electric one, the really expensive one, but I just didn't want to. I didn't even want to take it out of the box because it was so expensive and so nice. I was just, I'd rather just give it to someone who would appreciate it a lot more than I would. So I pass it on to a guy. Who bought it off me? He was a nice guy, and he's been wanting one for ages. So, I'm glad it went to a nice home anyway. So, but yeah, I got it for
So Jake, you said you started with I mean you joined that tour in Germany with Cabin Boy, and then where else did you toured with Cabin Boy? Where
Oh, we've been everywhere, dude. I think the only place we kind of not really ventured out to at the moment is America. But yeah, we started in the first tour was Germany, where I was just session. And then I joined. Then we had a bit of a break shortly after that to write the Heartless album. So there wasn't a lot of touring going on during then. But then as soon as we started getting that ready and started releasing songs, I think we went to, pardon, Empiricon Festival in Austria, Download Festival in the UK. We went to the Philippines. We've been to Russia twice, Ukraine, done multiple UK tours. And that's just the ones that are coming to my head. So like we really toured off that the Heartless album, and then we and then COVID hit. We was actually halfway through a tour. We was 3 days into a UK tour when COVID hit and they started closing down the venues. So we actually had nowhere to go. So we was like, right, well, we've got a couple of days to another show. Let's just see what happens. So we went home. And then they just closed the venues entirely. We had to go drive 200 miles just to get our equipment out of the van. So yeah, we've done multiple tours all over the world, but we haven't done anything since COVID. Not one show.
Yeah, so I actually missed your show in the Philippines, because The venue was quite far from the airport. I think you probably remember. It's like so far, right?
I've never done that much traveling in my life, dude. Where we're turning up to airports like half asleep because we're just flight, land, bus, car, dirt track, venue, play, back to the airport, flight. Oh, it's like
Right.
so much traveling on that Philippines tour. I when we was looking it up, I was looking at it and I was kind of like scaling the size of the Philippines compared to like the UK. I'm like, okay, like I can't imagine the drives are going to be that long, but Jesus Christ, it was so
How was the experience with the at the shows, the fans and people who came to the show? How was it?
long. It was in it was the most surreal thing we've ever done, even to this day. I don't think we'll get an experience like that ever again. Now, I can't say absolutely everywhere we went, everyone knew who we were, but just because we were different and from the UK, everyone dealt with us like we was royalty. And that's not being big-headed. I just mean that as that's how we felt. Like
Right.
we'd roll up and everyone was just so nice, offering us this, offering us that, trying to help us in any way possible. And they were just so happy to have someone from a different country come and perform for them. Because I can imagine, like, even massive artists don't go to these little towns that we were going to.
Right.
Maybe Manila, maybe. But we was going to some remote islands. I mean, we did 2 weeks out there.
Right.
So for some people, like they'd never had a metal band play in their town, or even an international band play in their town. So it was a very surreal experience. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I'll also remember the size of the spiders. Oh, don't do spiders, me. Yeah,
Yeah.
that.
You know, one of the surprises for me was like in my village, they had a show. Do you know the band Sincenum? The Joey Jordison band, the one that he created leaving after leaving Slipknot.
Do you know it rings a bell? Yeah, go on.
So they played in a warehouse in my place, like just like one block from my house. I just
Yeah.
walked to the venue and it was so surprised. It's in Manila, but it's like where like a
On the
village.
outskirts.
Yeah, outskirts. It's not a venue, it was just a warehouse. And I was so lucky that I could actually see Joey Jordison before, like because he passed away already last
Yeah.
year.
That's a good thing to have.
And I'm waiting for Slipknot. Actually, I also have the tickets for Slipknot from 2020. Still, they haven't canceled the show yet.
Oh, the postponed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was very surprised to see, like, when we went there, like, a lot of bands that were going, but they were only going to Manila.
Right.
So I can imagine, like, for the country, there's a lot of people booking flights and to head over to Manila to go see their favorite bands, and then it all gets postponed. I can imagine that's very,
Yeah.
very frustrating. But I when we went, I noticed a lot of like posters and stuff for Luke Holland, which is a drummer that I'm very familiar with. He's currently playing drums for Fallen in Reverse.
Yes, I actually went to the Luke Holland show.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, I
we
did it.
saw a lot of posters for that when we was there, and I'm sure he was there shortly after we was. But yeah, I can imagine it's very frustrating, like especially like even in the UK, like sometimes international bands will only come to London, and then everyone from up north gets really pissed off because then they've got to travel all the way down. So I can imagine it's even worse for the Philippines having to get flights just to go see a band. So
The Heartless album, I mean, I really love the songs of that, and I think, I mean, you had a great run with that album, and
yeah.
especially songs like Rip, Follow Me, and I love The Flood. The Rip, I actually love the music video. You actually had Fronzilla on that album,
yep.
right?
Yep. That was an interesting turn of events. So yeah, basically with RIP, we had that song. It was named completely different. It was called The Accused originally, and it was just a song, didn't have Fronz on it. And as I said, we went to Empiricon Festival, and Attila was on it. We shared a dressing room with them, and we just got on. It went quite well, and then we just slipped into talking about, like, oh, it'd be great to do a feature. He said, fine, here's my email, shoot him an email. We shot him an email. A couple of weeks later, all went very well, and we kind of kept in contact. I wouldn't say much over the pandemic, but we kept in contact for quite a while after. He's a sound dude. He's very chilled outside of what he posts online.
Right.
But basically, he recorded the video. He sent back what he thought was his best. We was like, that's great. We're happy with that. And then he had a UK tour. And when they came over, we planned to meet up with them before sound check, like in the morning, to would you want to shoot your part for a music video. So we found this location near to where they were playing that looked very similar to where we shot our parts in the video, so they kind of looked like they were in the same place,
right?
And then Connor went as well, so Connor was in the background. So what we wanted was to not look like we've green screened him in, or he shot his parts in America and we shot our parts in the UK. We wanted Connor to be part of it as well, so it looked like we were all in the same place at the same time, which I think we'd done that quite well. But the two locations of where the Fronz part was and the band location was about 150 miles away from each other. So,
right. But I think it really worked, because I watched the video. It doesn't feel like it's two different places.
Yeah, no. You got to give a shout out to Jay. Jay's the guy that does all of our music videos. Even to this day, he still does our music videos, and he's not let us down yet. He's smashed every single one. So we're very happy with how our music videos turn out.
Yeah. Jake, so I heard that you guys use the term electronico,
yes,
to describe your music. Can you tell me what does that mean?
Okay, so electronicore, it's electronic music and metalcore music. Bond them together, you've got electronicore music. Now, what that is like, so we play, especially on the Heartless album, there's a lot of like EDM, a lot of dubstep, a lot of like synth, and we just make that very prominent in the mix. So normally the guitars are quite rhythmic, there's not much going on to when the guitars are, so the synth does all the leads, all like the prominent stuff that you hear, and that's just basically the genre of electronicore. So it's just a genre of metalcore that has prominent electronics that you can dance to. It's just basically dance music added on to metalcore, and it helps with when you're playing a live show, it helps you be able to like implement into the next song. You can have like a bit of background, like electronic music. You can even have an interlude where it's just like a dance track, and it just gets everyone in the crowd like vibing. It just gives you so many more opportunities to do something with your music.
Right.
With the new album, we've kind of toned down on the electronics. It's still there, still sounds like Cabin Boy, but we've kind of changed our sound a bit. We've dropped the tune in, we've added more riffs, lowered down on the electronics. But that's basically what electronicore is.
Right. So you mentioned about the new album. I know that you're going to call it Sentiments, right? And it's going to be out when?
So it will be out 27th of May, a couple of days after my birthday.
Right.
So yeah, we've released the first single called Survivor that came out on the 9th of December. We just released a week ago Demons that came out on the 21st of January. And so far Demons has been our best release to date. We got 100,000 views just on YouTube alone in less than a week, which is the most we've ever got in that time period. So yeah, we've still got a couple more singles to go, and then the album's out 27th of May. So we're really stoked for this one. This is becoming the best release. Pardon, best release we've had so far. Everyone's morale is very high at the moment. We're all buzzing with how everything's feeling. We've got a couple more things to do with the label, a couple of music videos to still shoot. But then, yeah, we've got a big year ahead of us.
Right. So this is coming out of AFM Records, right?
FM
German,
Records, yeah.
Germany.
Yep.
Right. Jake, so I saw that you outside of Cabin Boy, you have also worked, I think you founded also Spitfire Management. Can you tell me about Spitfire Management?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, well, it's not only that, because I've sorry, because I've always been into music. I've got a lot of friends of mine that also are into music, but they're not at a higher stage. They're like just starting out or local band level, and when it comes to writing music, releasing music, they just like, I'm like, come on, dude, like it's common sense. This is how you should promote it. This is how you should do this. And I was kind of like more telling them what to do than anything. It was like, just make yourself look professional. Don't just go, oh, we got a new video coming out soon. Here's a little clip. What do you think of this? And then you're already giving away what you're going to release later down the line. So basically, it just got to the point of where I was telling my friends like tips on how to like work their band. So I just said, right, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start a management company, not big time. It will just be like me working with you, my friends. I'm not going to go public with it. And so I was like, yeah, let's just do that. And I told Connor, the vocalist of Cabin Boy, that I was going to start a little management company up, that I just want to help some friends out. It's not going to be much bigger than that. It's just that I'll have it under a management name, so it looks a bit more professional on my friends' accounts. And it was literally just going to be that. But then Connor got involved, and Connor took it to the next step. He ran the whole thing. I was just like, I just wanted a name. That's all. And he's taking it to a business level now. He made a website, he made a roster. Connor basically just took everything over and was like, right, money, let's get this done, let's put some money into this and have some, get a good roster, get a good name under ourselves. And yeah, so we started it with me and Connor under a thing. But then shortly after we actually got the business out running and we started getting some bands on our roster, I fell really ill, and I had to take a step back from the management. I had to take a step back from the band for a little bit. I was like, I can't do this. I just don't have the mindset or anything. So I said to Connor, look, mate, you've basically brought this up yourself. It's basically your thing. The only thing was Spitfire was my name, because in the UK we've got an esports team called the London Spitfire, and I was a big fan of them, so that's why I called it Spitfire Management.
Right.
And that's the only thing of mine that's still going with it. So right now I'm not a part of Spitfire Management. It's all run by Connor, it's all him. But I know that if I said to Connor that I want to get back on it and I want to be part of the team again, he'll let me come back in. But as of right now, I'm not part of Spitfire Management. It's all Connor, it's all run by him, and he's doing a great job of it. Like some of the bands that he's got on there, are doing incredible things, getting on radios and getting on tours, and yeah, a lot of work he's doing, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I noticed also a couple of bands there, like Calling Apollo. There was a band called Calling Apollo, which looks really interesting.
Yeah, it's doing really well. Doing really well.
Right. So Jake, what's your message to the people who's going to watch the video, especially people from the Philippines?
Okay, so well, you mean the new singles?
Yeah, your message, whatever you want to tell
Okay,
them.
well, first thing I will say is, if you're gonna check us out for the first time, I recommend listening to either Survivor or Demons. As of right now, we've still got two more singles to come out, which I don't know if we've announced the names of those publicly yet. But we're still basically anything that's coming out in 2021 or 2022 that you'll see on YouTube, that's what we are sounding like now. I've seen a few comments of people that have listened to the two singles that we've released and then gone back and listened to some of the older stuff and gone, that's not quite the same band. As I was mentioning before, we used to be heavy electronic or like a
Right.
lot of electronics, a lot of dubstep, whereas we've kind of toned down that on that now. We've got a different sound going. We still sound like who we want to be, but it's not the same sort of thing. So yeah, give Survivor, give Demons a listen. That's who we are representing now. That's what we're going to be for the foreseeable future. But obviously we don't forget our roots. Go listen to The Heartless. That was the album we released in 2019. If you want to go back even further, we had two EPs, Pathways and Voices. They are like what we at the time was making our sound. We was trying to figure out who we were. So yeah, give us a listen. Let us know what you think. Give us a comment.
Right. Jake, anybody you want to shout out to?
Oh, shout out. Sam and Joe Graves, Mike Kingswood from Inner Sound Studios. We spent 3 weeks at the Inner Sound Studios recording Sentiments, the new album. So they dealt with us for 3 weeks. So shout out to them. They were incredible. Jay Hillier, the videographer who does all of our videos, he's incredible, does an amazing job every time. Max, who done all the artwork for us, Max, incredible. He really, really patient with us because we was very fussy with how we wanted our artwork. Very fussy. So a lot of back of like I think it was 5, 6 months of like, no, can you change this? No, can you change that? Oh yeah, we like that, but can you change this? Just I can imagine he got really pissed off of us at one point, but yeah, Max is a legend. Obviously there's loads of people we've had to deal with during this process, but they're the three main guys we had to deal with throughout the whole process of the album. Tom, our manager, he's had to deal with a load of our rubbish. Yeah, and then AFM Records, who haven't had much to deal with our rubbish because we don't go direct to them, we go through our manager to them. But the AFM have been great. We flew out to Germany to go meet them when we signed the contract, and they were very nice. They understood our message, they understood where we wanted to go, and they've basically just said, look, you guys do what you want to do. We're just along for the ride. Just don't do anything stupid. So, so we love AFM. They've been great for us. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Jake, thanks for joining this podcast, and I
No worries,
really
buddy.
enjoy your Cabin Boy music, and I'm looking forward to the new album. And hopefully you guys can start touring again.
Oh yeah, 100%. One thing I will say though, is I would like to come back to the Philippines. It was an experience that I feel like it was a once in a lifetime, but I would like to make it twice in a lifetime because even though we went there not knowing what was going on. So we
Right.
had one guy who was our tour manager who was called Jed. he basically showed us where to go, sorted everything out. But I don't think we took in where we were for a while because of so much traveling. If we did like one show day off, and in like the bigger cities, I think that would be more beneficial for us to kind of just sink it in where we are, take it all in, and yeah, it was an incredible time. I'd love to. I'd definitely love to come back. It was an experience.
So, Jake, lastly, tell everyone how they can listen to Cabin Boy music and how they can purchase your music, albums, whatever.
Spotify, iTunes, any streaming service. If it plays music, we're probably on it. YouTube, that's where all of our music videos are. Everything from the Heartless backwards is all on our YouTube channel, which is just Cabin Boy Jump Ship. All the new music is being released on exclusively on AFM Records. So if you want to catch those, you'll have to go on the AFM channel or just search up Cabin Boy Jump Ship, and I'm sure all of the videos will come up. I'd really appreciate it if people did check out the videos, because we've put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money into some of these videos, and Jay's done an incredible job. So just to see the visuals alone, I'd like go check it out. Leave a comment of what you think. The comments are always nice to read. We read every single one of them. We're on social medias, Instagram, Spotify. What the hell am I about? Instagram, Facebook. We have Twitter. We don't use Twitter much, but we do go on there sometimes. We're on every social media platform you can think of. We're probably on it. We're even on Russian Facebook, VK. We're everywhere, dude. We might not be on it every day, but we are on it, and we do go on it every now and then. But our main ones, Instagram and Facebook, we're on those daily. Our music can be streamed anywhere.
So just search for Cabin Boy Jump Ship, right?
Cabin Boy Jump Ship.
So Jake, thanks again. Have a great day ahead.
No worries,
Looking
buddy.
forward to talking to you again in the future, and
Thank you
maybe
very
the
much.
whole band.
Yeah, well, let's reschedule this for when the album's out, and I'll let you know how the album went.
Okay, mate. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
No worries,
Have a
buddy.
great day.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good
Thank
day.
you.
Peace.